AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Check it out now. No doubt now.
Thursday morning, October 22nd, 2020. It's the Beating the Books podcast, Megapod for week 7, live from the D. It's Gil Alexander. Is this our last appearance at the D, Mikey?
Yeah, it's sort of bittersweet after all the time we've spent in this Cathedral of Bar Canada.
What was your favorite memory from it?
Well, I liked Brent Musburger talking about what happened in the 1970s. People really enjoyed that.
I mean, there was
only one person complaining, and he happened to be on the pod as well. But
Todd, what was your issue with that?
I had no problem with it. It just, when Mikey is so sycophantic, it reminded me of a certain situation in the news all the time. But the sycophantic questions were just a little too much for me. Sitting at I love it too. I like the reminiscing too. It's just when the questions are asked in such a sycophantic nature, it bothers me.
He likes saying sycophantic.
Yes. You should have challenged him like you did Dr. Bob last year. You should have went right after Brent.
Are you going to be polite to our guest today? By the way, it's Mike Palm, of course, the Vice President of Operations here at Circa Sports. Circa opening in 5 days. Are you under, like, lots of pressure?
Wow. There's so many moving parts. I mean, there's a lot of things that still need to be done, Gil, both from a construction side, from a technology side, from a staff training side. We're actually having our first play day today. Where people are going to come in, we're going to put free slot play on a card, we're going to give them fake money and fake chips and actually give them an experience. They're going to eat in one of the restaurants.
Really?
We had hoped the pool would be ready for today. It won't be ready till the second play day Sunday. So their trial run will be right in the middle of an NFL Sunday as well as Game 5 of the World Series. So that we'll get to really test the pool and we'll test the sports book screens and all that to come. So, but we'll learn more. As the great Michael Lombardi says, you have to know what you don't know. And So today is a lot about trying to find out what we don't know.
Last question about this. The answer that everybody wants to know. When you say black tie for your opening Tuesday night, does that mean a bow tie or does that mean, hey, the tie's just got to be black?
That means that you must wear a black tuxedo with a black bow tie.
The bow tie's not going to happen for me, man. They're going to send me away?
It's a tuxedo. You go to get a tuxedo, Gil. That's what black tie means.
Fashion stylist Deborah Song says, F them old schoolers. This is the way to go. Can we bring in our guest, Drew Dinsick? For God's sakes, so we've gone 5 minutes in. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm so happy to have him on the show. He's the co-host. I don't know if he's the lead host or co-host. I don't know how we say it. With his buddy Andy Molitor of the Deep Dive podcast. Awesome podcast on not only football, but tennis and the NBA. Those are his go-to sports. Drew Dinsick, everybody. Drew, thank you. You were about to say that bow tie not necessary. Is that what I was about to hear?
Yeah, I do a black tie event every year, and I've worn, like, if you have a nice black, as long as it's like a nice black, you know, necktie, that and with, as long as it's with the rest of a tuxedo getup, that's totally kosher in the black tie world in LA, at least. Maybe not old, maybe Vegas is a little more classic, but you know, that's pretty kosher around my part of town.
Smart man right there.
Well, you have to understand Derek grew up in Grosse Pointe, Michigan, so there's a little bit yeah. more of an old money feel to black tie and what that means.
So didn't mean to skip over Todd Wishnev from his mother's attic. His mother's cork attic in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. How you doing?
Yes, I'm doing great. You know, it's just great.
Who's this guy? Who is this guy all of a sudden today? What's wrong with you?
It's been 3 weeks since I played tennis because of this damn hamstring injury, and it's getting me really upset. And I'm missing weather day after weather day. Beautiful, beautiful tennis weather. There's been like 2 rainy days and 20 beautiful days, and that's 18 days of tennis I missed. It's okay. Very, very disappointing.
All right, that description is sufficient. All right. Here's what we do for those tuning into this podcast for the first time. We go through our 3 best bets. Actually, we go the Thursday night game first. If it happens to be one of our best bets, then so be it. And then each person in the end will have 3 best bets. We'll do the teaser of the week for everybody, which we're still killing teasers, right? Still killing.
Yeah. We are all 5-1 on the teaser.
5-1.
Do you want to know the records, too, and the regular records?
Please. The court stenographer, Todd Wishnev, please tell us what our records are.
As court stenographer, I would like to say Gilly Ice has made a huge comeback to get to 7-10-1, a beautiful week last week, with his Miami Dolphins, which we may or may not sing later, Tampa Bay as well, and only went down with Carolina -1. By the way, we all had Carolina. Every time we all have somebody,
it never
wins. Just fade that right away. Mikey had a poor week. He doesn't usually have too many poor weeks. He had a 1-2. Not very good with that Houston Texans. He's probably kicking himself right now because of Romeo Crennel and 2-point conversions and not 2-point conversions and all kinds of shenanigans. And then I had a bad week as well, a 1-2 with Carolina. My over in the Steelers game didn't get there, but then I did have Arizona. So 7-11 for me, Mikey 10-7-1, and you Gil 7-10-1. Drew in at 0-0 with a 0-0 teaser record.
So I'm a half game better than you, Todd, is what I'm hearing.
You're a half game. That's correct.
I thought I heard. Okay. Let us start with Drew. Let's start with Thursday night football tonight. Philadelphia, 4.5-point favorites, hosting the New York Giants. Not exactly a barn burner from a fan standpoint, but perhaps some betting value. Drew was kind enough to come on a numbers game at VSiN earlier in the week, and so I know what's coming here, and you've kind of convinced me, Drew, through your very logical diatribe about this game. This is one of your best bets, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I think Philadelphia is the side here. I got in early at 5.5 and was absolutely agog when it went from 6.5 to 3.5 on the news that Miles Sanders and Zach Ertz weren't going to be playing, which, again, this was something that anyone who watched the Philly-Baltimore game knew. You know, those guys clearly went out, and it wasn't, you know, ticky-tack injuries. Those were, you know, real problems. And so the fact that, you know, they get confirmed out and the line drifted, you know, moved that much was shocking. Got more down at 3.5. It's now back up to 4.5. Realistically, this is kind of one of the only angles that I play when I play Thursday night football. You have a rookie head coach in Joe Judge. It is extremely difficult for coaches who have not been in this situation before to realize how much work they need to put in the week before so that they can implement all of the wrinkles and all of the nuance that you need to have a game-specific game plan in place for a Thursday night opponent. And Doug Peterson has mastered this. He has done extremely well on Thursday night football the last handful of years. And he is now coming to me, the fact that he held Lane Johnson out of that Baltimore game, the fact that they held Deshaun Jackson out of that Baltimore game, reflected a little bit of gamesmanship. Like, okay, we know that this Giants game is a lot more important in terms of our overall potential to make the playoffs this season than this Baltimore game where we're, you know, going to be double-digit underdogs. So let's save up our bullets a little bit and be ready for this Giants and take it to them. So I think this sets up very well for the Eagles to kind of right the ship, get right, so to speak, and really set the stage for a run. As I personally think that they will win the NFC East comfortably, given all the injuries to the Dallas Cowboys.
We calling it your number one, your number two, or your number three best bet, just for bookkeeping?
I'd say probably number three.
Number three. It's my number three as well.
What's the number officially on this?
4.5 now.
Okay.
Four and a half. And it's exactly what Drew said. Lane Johnson and DeSean Jackson mean more than Zach Ertz and Miles Sanders. There are Lane Johnson stats. How often do you hear it about an offensive lineman in the NFL where the Eagles are just unbelievably better ATS with him than without him? And DeSean Jackson, I can say this as a fan of the Washington football team. We never really could figure out the chicken and the egg when Kirk Cousins played for the Skins. Was it DeSean spreading the field that allowed for Jordan Reed to have such success underneath for Cousins? Or was Cousins, you know, the impetus for all of it? And I think all these years, I think it was DeSean.
That's not crazy. Yeah. It's really not. And you can't count on him for a full season anymore. But when he is healthy and he's on the field, he's a game changer. I'm very prepared for them to go over the top to him early and often this one, really try to take the top off the Giants defense. And realistically, the Giants have only looked competent defensively when they've gone up against teams that can't pass deep. When, you know, they had a decent performance against the Rams, but it was mostly because the Rams were just trying this short, you know, average depth of target stuff. And that's the only thing that the Giants can reasonably cover in the passing game. So if we have reasonably competent offensive line play tonight and Lane Johnson being back is a huge part of that, I think Carson Wentz picks this team apart and really, you know, shows out tonight.
I like it so much, Mikey, that I'm putting in my circa millions picks earlier to include Philadelphia. How about that?
Wait, is that your 3-1 or 2, Gil?
3.
Really?
Yeah.
That's strong because, you know, time is very important with COVID this year.
48
to
hours.
To lock yourself into all 5 picks?
48 hours of COVID prayers is what I'm going to be saying.
What's your current point standing right now in the Circa Million, Gil?
I'll tell you again, I'll give you the exact trajectory week by week. 1-3-1, 2-3, 2-3, 3-2, 4-1, 3-2. So what
are we
is that?
Supposed to add that up?
See that the one person has the top 3 spots.
It's unbelievable.
One guy has 3 entries. He's first, second, and tied for third.
It's amazing.
It is amazing.
It's amazing.
Whoa. Well, he just hasn't been doing much variance in his picks, and then if he gets all the way to the end, he's going to be able to do all kinds of shenanigans.
That's right. Which is what I plan to do with my 2 entries. But you see how that's going. But just to give you an idea, like 7-3, I am in this current quarterly. I got no chance.
What
to
are
win
you?
The quarterly
28th, 100th play. I mean.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know.
Well, the first week, 197 people went 5-0 in week 5, the first week of the quarter.
Yeah. Mike's tallying on my record. All right, so that's pick number 3 for both. Do you, Todd, have any thoughts on tonight's game before we get off Thursday night?
Not really. I don't really like this game. The Giants, you know, Riverboat Ron, I'm still upset about Riverboat Ron. I had over 39.5 on the in game, and as the Redskins are driving down 13, I'm thinking, is Riverboat Ron going to do something stupid and go for 2 here? And it's in the back of my head all the way down. But I'm like, well, they won't get it in anyway, so I don't even have to worry about it. He gets it in, and then I see them panning to him because I have the 8-box DirecTV on, so I'm not listening, but I can see they're looking at him, and I'm thinking, oh no, please Riverboat, please no. No 2, please no. Yeah, he goes for 2.
Well, let me ask you this. How much of that is the fact that his nickname is Riverboat Ron, that he felt the need to live up to it? Like, if his name was Tugboat Ron, right? Like, he might not have done it. But Riverboat Ron.
I would have been happy to rename him during the drive. I would
just
have said
to prevent
conservative,
that?
Conservative Justice Amy Coney Ron. What I would have called him, Mr. Conservative. Not gambling at all. No gambling.
Do you like my Merrick Garland comeback last week? Did you like that?
Yeah, that was solid. I loved Mike going, oh yes, oh it's so fantastic, Notre Dame. We have such an incredible pride from Notre Dame. We're golden domers and we love it, and we love controlling the Supreme Court with 7 Catholics. Thank you.
Well, your buddy Raj Bhatti had to put a little tweet out there about how we were masking our anti-feminism in some pride of Notre Dame, and Brent and I rehearsed all of it, which is not true. It is a prideful thing for Notre Dame, no matter what her politics are. Mm-hmm. And the mid-50s were indeed a golden era. Okay.
All right. Michigan, so.
Did you have anything on Thursday Night Football?
I love the Eagles here. I really do. But, you know, Dougie P is so bad with field goals. I mean, the guy is the worst of all time. I wish this game was a 3. I'd lay 3. I could include them in a money line parlay if I was going to do something. I think the Giants are really bad. I think Danny Dimes sucks.
Yeah.
I mean, people thought, oh, they were good against the Dallas defense. The Dallas defense is one of the worst of all time. He wasn't great against them.
No.
I mean, they make bad quarterbacks look average.
They had so many chances to win that game.
I mean, I thought he looked terrible. He's not good. He's not good at all. And so, I mean, I don't know. The Giants still were in a game against Washington. They only had 100 passing yards in the game. I mean, the Giants are not good. The Eagles are the best team in the East, okay? They're going to win the East. But
that's like saying Circa is the best hotel downtown.
It's different. Okay, these hotels don't all lose money. Okay, every team in the East has a losing record, Todd.
I'm Mikey, not going to use a joke. Downtown strip.
You came out here with zero energy, so I didn't know you were joking. I'd like to not use the pick though on this, but I do like the Eagles a lot. Yeah.
All right, let's go to the best bets. By the way, Drew, not only with the Deep Dive podcast, but I sold him short. Also does stuff for Roto World. Writes for Point Spread Weekly at VSiN, for goodness sake, which is a huge get for VSiN.
I love it when he dissects the quadrants of a tennis draw. That's the best. Oh. That is the absolute best. It is.
By the way, you better not be joking, because that's like the greatest shit ever.
No, I love it. Yeah, okay. I love it.
By the way, speaking
don't
of
mess
which,
with tennis.
I'm not. It's true.
By the way, if you guys are betting this in-game tennis, I was watching the tennis yesterday with DraftKings, FanDuel, and bookmakers lines up at the same time, Gil.
Yeah.
It is unbelievable
how different
the differences.
They are. Yeah.
It's incredible. I mean, somebody like you who loves the tennis, you would feast. You would absolutely feast. I mean, I was watching that Zverev against I forget who he was going against, but Zverev guy, and he was like, Zverev, it was ridiculous. I don't know all the tennis names. I know Shapovalov, but
got beat today. It was ugly.
Yeah.
Oof.
Yeah.
All right, Gilles Simone took him down in straights, but the Zverev match was wild yesterday. Bageled Milman in the first set, then dropped 6-3. It looked like he was going to lose the match, and then came back and won 6-3. So that was a weird one.
But if you're into it and you bet, if you look at these lines like at the exact same time, FanDuel, DraftKings, and bookmaker at the same, it's incredible the differences. Incredible.
Milman, by the way.
Did you try? And are they spinning circle you to death with FanDuel and DraftKings?
Actually, if they don't FanDuel, it's like a 5 second and it has a countdown. Okay. So it's not like William Hill where it just spins forever and you have no idea when you're going to get it. FanDuel has like a counter time down, so you know exactly when you get it. Countdown. And then the DraftKings has a spinner, but it's a quick spinner. It's not like a spin for the rest of your life and try to screw you type of spinner. It's just a quick spinner and then you're in. And then bookmaker, it's fast.
Yeah.
I saw your buddy Crack wrote an article about the new William Hill app and the spin to deal with this. Did you read that article?
No, but I've heard about the fallout from it.
Well, yes. Here's the thing. It's actually better to me because in the old app, the original version, it would spin and you didn't know whether it would get rejected or not when it went into the spin mode, right? It may eventually approve it or it may reject it. You might have to wait 90 seconds or 2 minutes. Not a good thing. This one, as soon as it spins, you know you're not getting it in. And you have to shut off your phone, turn it back on and replace the bet. But at least you know you're not getting it in. Before you were caught and you couldn't cancel it either.
Better to be horribly egregious than...
But as a better to me, and I'm betting in game on all this, you know, and soccer especially, and the line's moving, the total is moving, the juice on it.
Yeah.
At least I know. I know right away it's not getting in instead of waiting 2 minutes. And by the time I get it back in, it's moved 15 cents. You know.
There's some of these too where it spins you. And it accepts them, and you don't know it's spinning. And you don't know that it's accepted them.
No, that's the worst of all.
That's the worst, because then you might bet them two or three times. Anyway, that's for another.
Yeah. De-incentivizes anyone who knows what they're doing from doing it.
Yeah, really. That's right.
Well said.
All right, Drew, number one for you this week.
Ooh, man. Okay, I've gone back and forth on what my favorite look of the card is, and I've landed on an under in today's NFL. My number one. Number one edge on the card. An under in today's NFL. And it is, in division at least, and it is 56 points, which is a lot. And it is the Seahawks and the Arizona Cardinals under 56. There is a couple angles at play here. Number one, after that Cardinals-Dallas Cowboys game, I realistically, you know, kind of going back through and figuring out what happened there, I made two adjustments to the Cardinals. I adjusted their pass defense up, and I adjusted their offense in total down. That was a very, very, very misleading final score, given that you know, three touchdowns were, 80 plus yarders, and or not 80, not all three were 80 yarders, but, you know, they had three broken plays. And I hang that entirely on, poor execution by the Dallas defense, not what, the scheme they came up with for the Arizona Cardinals. This Arizona Cardinals offense is legitimately a bottom five offense in the NFL, in my opinion. What Kyler Murray is doing in the passing game is, it's not good enough to go toe-to-toe with the Seahawks, even the Seahawks defense, which has underwhelmed to this point in the season. He's making plays with his legs to extend drives, but it's not an effective way, in my opinion, at least, to go toe-to-toe with the Seahawks. So Seahawks defense coming off of extra rest, obviously, they're coming in off their bye. They've underwhelmed this season, but a lot of that has been injury-related, in my opinion. They're going to have a full complement of their secondary back in this one, a healthy Jamal Adams on the field. But the way that Bobby Wagner and KJ Wright have been playing so far this season, all of it to me spells, a solid defensive performance here by the Seahawks. And, we've seen this in the past, too, where a team that was rolling through the season, white hot, can't lose, everything's going their way, gets an early bye, and it cools them off a little bit. And I can entirely see that playing into this, the way the Seahawks offense comes into this one. It's difficult to, when everything is going your way and you're winning and you have a week off, it is difficult to come back into work that next week and grind the same way you were before you got your week of vacation. And I think that you could see a little bit of rust, a little bit of less ease, so to speak, of how the Seahawks have been moving the ball and scoring points in this one, on top of the fact that now with a full complement of secondary players, the Arizona Cardinals secondary, I do believe it warrants an upgrade. Their coverage was very good against that wide receiving core from Dallas. Most people will focus on the fact that the blitzes and the sacks and the Andy Dalton performance was pathetic, but a lot of that was born out of excellent coverage by the Cardinals secondary. So this sets up perfectly for 24-10 type of contest. And so 56 points, I think, is laughably high. It's taken me a while to get to this point that this is my favorite play of the week. But I really can't crack this any other way and see that this is going to be a shootout.
I don't think we emphasize this enough when we talk about the NFL from week to week, whether it's on a podcast, whether it's on radio, whatever. How we look at the result, 38-10, and even though we watched the game, we don't take a beat to recognize if Zeke Elliott doesn't fumble those two balls, this entire game is different. Yeah. And so it is incumbent upon us as handicappers to be honest about things like that. I'm not going to say
sometimes it's one play, like right. Cooper Kupp and the third down and goal for the Rams. If he catches that ball, which he catches 99 out of 100, it's a completely different game for the over-under. It's a completely different game for the point spread. Sometimes it's one play.
Yeah, yeah. And so, I'm not going to say the Cowboys would have won. Maybe they would have, maybe they wouldn't have. But 38-10, it should not have been. By the way, that Kenyon Drake rush to the house with under 2 minutes left, for those of us who had in-game over totals, like a 45.5, 46.5, was one of the more surreal things I've ever witnessed. Everyone's like, oh my God, is this happening?
I only remember it happening two other times. One time in a Baltimore Cowboys game where it happened multiple times in the last minute. I can't remember it almost ever happening. It's like,
it's
almost
incredible.
Never.
It was unbelievable.
What are you talking about, Todd? In the second week of the year, Tampa Bay was trying to run out the clock and broke the 50-yarder cover.
Right.
That cost them Okay, it happened this year.
You're right. Yeah. Good call.
Mikey?
Dallas was live for a defensive touchdown. I mean, Arizona could have scored a defensive touchdown any time in that last 4 minutes, too. So they were that thing had life till the very end.
Mikey, number one for you, sir.
Okay, I'd like to make this comment about Drew's pick. To what he said about his evaluation of the Cardinals. I gave out the Cardinals on Thursday here on VSiN on Friday. I bet them lane 1.5. I bet them I laid one. I took them at a pick on Monday, and I tremendously downgrade them after watching that game, which they easily covered. Seriously.
Yeah.
I mean, what is Kyler Murray? I mean, the first quarter and a half was pathetic.
Drew and I talked about this on radio the other day. Take three teams now. Another. Dolphins have actually made a quarterback change. But Dolphins, Cardinals, Bills, three 500 or above football teams, their best play on offense is clearly the quarterback just running.
Certainly, Kyler Murray.
I thought Cliff Kingsbury, they looked like they were ill-prepared coming into that game, that the receivers were running the wrong routes or Murray didn't know where he was throwing the ball. They couldn't move. They couldn't convert third downs until he scrambled on third and 12 or whatever, and they finally picked one up. But I was not impressed with their offense in the least on Monday night. And, they scored, what, four straight touchdowns. That's what got them all their points until that run to the end. I'm going to go with the team I bet against last week. I'm going to take the Bears in six on Monday night.
Wow.
Against the Rams. Listen, this defense is better than we think.
Brent said it.
It continues to get flattered how well the defense has played, really. I mean, Stafford moved the ball on him early in week one and got that big lead. But look what they did with Brady. I mean, there were some self-inflicted injuries on Thursday night, but they held Brady down as well as anybody did, and they went in there and they made Bridgewater look all out of rhythm the whole day. That Carolina offense couldn't run the ball. They couldn't get the play-action passing game going. They looked very well, and Nick Foles makes enough plays to make this team competitive. And, it was another uninspiring performance by the Rams. They've made their bones by beating up on the Giants and Washington. So, look, I think the Bears are the better team. I know they have to go to L.A., but I think this game certainly stays within a touchdown, and I think the Bears are live to win it. So I'm going to take the six on Monday night.
All right. Mikey's first pick, the Bears, plus the points Monday night, plus six. Yes, plus six. Consensus there. Todd, number one for you, sir.
Before I give you my number one, I'd like to get an opinion from the three experts here that we have, Michael Palm, Dr. Gil Alexander, and Drew, who sounds extremely articulate. I'd like to know what you guys would have done.
What's that?
Have you ever heard him before, Todd? Have you ever listened to him speak?
No, it was a compliment. I've never heard him before.
Well, you're right. That's what you gave away, that you've never listened. Boy, this guy sounds articulate.
He sounds articulate. I'll give him a chance.
But that's because it's my fault that I haven't listened to every podcast in the world. I mean, come on.
The guy's on VSiN. He's on Follow the Money. He goes on Gil's show all the time now. I mean, this is not like he's just some obscure person.
I was trying to give you a compliment, but Mike has to turn everything negative. It's a Mikey thing. What can I tell you?
Meanwhile, Gil gives us a day ahead of time who the guest is going to be. Maybe if you've not heard of him, you'd go look him up, do some research, watch some of his work.
I don't have to make any picks on whether Drew's a good guest or not, Mikey. I got enough research to do. Okay? Give me a break. I'm watching freaking Hapoel Be'er Sheva soccer here in the meantime. Sure. Give me a break.
Under soccer
rapid, we in Arsenal, scoreless at half. We're looking good. Under 2.5 plus 115 now. We're getting into a middling position soon.
Medio tiempo.
Mike, you would, by the way, Mike, you're another person who would freaking love the DraftKings and the FanDuel soccer. But anyways, my question is this. Last week, I thought Denver was going to have a hard time scoring against New England. They actually moved the ball a little bit better than you would think, but I thought Belichick would be able to, game plan up on Drew Lock, who I still do not believe is any good. So there was team total 18.5 minus 137 available, and there was team total minus under 17.5 minus 110 available. I didn't want to pay up 27 extra cents to get the under 18.5, so I went with the 17.5, and of course, because Hashem hates me, of course it has to land on 18, the most uncommon possible number in the history of football. My question is, had I been a person who Hashem doesn't hate, do you think that was the correct move to not pay the extra 27 cents for 18?
Can I just tell Drew once again, Hashem is the Hebrew for the name which the Orthodox Jews, which Todd used to be one of, call God. And so he believes Hashem hates him.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it on. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
Just wanted to clarify that for everybody.
That makes sense.
We call him Jesus.
Yeah, some people have a different term for him. So what, the question
I
was...
I am an advocate of always sell. I'm never buying points in pretty much anything. I mean, if you do the numbers, there's almost always a player tax buying, and so the vice versa is true. There's a little bit less. You take a little vig away, in my opinion, if you sell. So
I wasn't buying. One second, but let me make this clear.
So, yeah.
I wasn't buying the 18. It was on two different sites. So I wasn't necessarily paying up on the buy, but I just thought 27 cents for the 18 was too much.
It is insane.
Yeah, I would add to what Drew's saying. I think Drew is getting at this too. It's not like 18 is a key number either, right?
That was my point.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That was there could have been
an old Hebrew parable in this. You could have gotten visited by a demon and he would have been like the Denver Broncos aren't going to score any touchdowns in this game. And I will let you bet the money line for even money on the New England Patriots. How much would you have had on the Patriots? Because 6 field goals and they beat the Patriots. That was by far the most bizarre outcome of last week. And realistically, I can't look at the Patriots-Niners game and make any sense out of it this week because I just don't know who the Patriots are. How do you perform that way? That was a very strange
6
game.
Field goals for the Broncos on their first 6 drives, never scored again. And then Drew,
I could see it coming. When it got to 9, I'm thinking, oh, please, please, no, not 18. Please, any number, but not 18.
Of all the weird things that happened last week with Romeo Crennel going for 2, up 7, Ron Rivera trying to go for the win, how about the Broncos up 18-9, all of a sudden deciding, you know, we're going to start heaving the ball downfield now. It's just, you guys are up 18-9. You're not down 18-9.
That was Vic Fangio. You love Vic Fangio. Yeah. He's the best, that guy, I'll tell you. Anyways, my best pick. Sorry for digressing so much, but my best pick of the week, I'm going to go with the Carolina Panthers. I went to the well last week. I should have listened to the Brent Musburger, who was warning me not to do it. He said the Bears defense was too good. That being said, let's be honest, though. Carolina gave him a touchdown at the beginning of the game by throwing an interception at the 10-yard line. There are many iterations of that football game where it's a toss-up game. And even so, it was a toss-up game. So I don't think it was such a horrible pick that all three of us like Carolina, but we should have listened to Brent and whatever. Anyways, this week I like Carolina. 7.5 points against a team like New Orleans. I do not think New Orleans is elite anymore. I think they're still a very good team. I just don't think they're elite. And I think Carolina is the kind of average football team. Throw it into a big, you know, bucket, and you don't want to be laying 7.5 points when you got a team that's above average against maybe a slightly above average team, right? Plus 7.5, that's a lot of points. New Orleans defense isn't that good. New Orleans has given up a lot of points this year. So I don't like, you know, I like taking points against teams that may give up backdoor touchdowns at the end. I mean, New Orleans gave up 34 to Vegas. They gave up 37 to Green Bay. They even gave up 29 to Detroit, gave up 27 to Herbert. So, you know, if Teddy Two Gloves can get me to 24, they could lose 31-24 and I still win. So let me have Carolina Panthers plus 7.5.
Let him have it. Carolina plus 7.5. My number one pick of the week is Pittsburgh Steelers.
Wow.
In a battle of undefeateds. Oh. By the way, Pittsburgh now a dog in this game. This happened last night. I went in to do primetime action. I was like, oh, look, Pittsburgh's 2-point favorite. And then by the time the show was over, Pittsburgh was an underdog. This is the weirdest thing. I don't know if you've noticed this year more than others, Drew, where we know about injury news in advance. Like, we knew Devin Bush was kind of donezo. And then when it becomes official, all of a sudden people act like this was breaking news. And the line just tears the other way. And what's interesting to me in this is no one's talking about the fact that Taylor Lewan of the Titans is not going to be available. So that's big to me.
So
Gil, does it scare you that they just had their best performance of the year, winning 38-7? Does that scare you at all?
It does not, because this is a battle of undefeateds, and I don't think they need extra motivation for this.
Does it scare you at all that they have the Ravens on deck?
Yes, that scares me more. I'll tell you though what puts me at ease though. Not only the Luan injury, Tennessee Titans, and I love the Titans, and I don't want to make the mistake of last postseason when they beat the Patriots and they beat the Ravens. By the way, I was on the Titans in those games, so I wasn't one of these people who underestimated them. But this year, the Titans have 4 of their 5 wins by 6 points or fewer. Probably shouldn't have won last week against the Texans. We can get into whether people thought Romeo Crennel was crazy or not for going for 2. I thought he was. But they leave the door open and Tennessee wins that. Tennessee has had a lot of close calls this year. I just think Pittsburgh is one of the few teams in the NFL this year where we can legitimately say this is a pretty balanced football team. Their offense, and they're finding weapons all the time. No one drafts wide receivers better than the Pittsburgh Steelers. Chase Claypool getting it done now along with Juju. I think they're a solid, balanced offense. And I think their defense, in a league where we can't say this about many teams, they've got a solid defense. Getting +1.5, I'm going with the Pittsburgh Steelers. I like them this week. That's my number one pick. My number ones have done sucky, too. Let me just point that out. But that's my
number
one.
You're on a hot streak, Gil. You started off very poorly.
Yes.
And been hot lately, so, you know.
I'm a freight train, Todd Wishnev.
Buyer beware. Be careful.
All right, number two, Drew. What's your number two pick?
So I'll stay on that game, and I'll comment real quickly on the injury stuff because I've noticed it too. We talked about it in the Giants game, the Philadelphia Giants game, and the Devin Bush one was especially crazy because, again, anyone who followed that game or read the recap, like, it was mentioned. You know, he pretty clearly tore his ACL in that one and was going to be unavailable. So that was surprising. There's probably someone out there who's got some sort of algorithmic betting going on. When an injury hits the Don Best screen, they just paint the board knowing that it's going to move. And they're trying to capture some sort of, little incremental value, just knowing that that once it hits the screen, the number's going to move or something like that. But I agreed with you, like, you saw two weird moves in that game last night, or really yesterday, all day. Somebody very confident in the under, and somebody very sure that the Titans should be favored in that. And so the two combined is basically saying that somehow the market is underrating the Titans' defense, and that is crazy to me. I really, really think this is the least impactful unit on the field out of the four. In today's NFL, where especially in the regular season handicapping, I upweight offense significantly in terms of coming up with a number relative to defense. And Tennessee is my number one offense right now. Pittsburgh is my number 7 offense in the NFL right now. These are two very, very competent offenses, and I get – when I break down the matchup a little bit, I see Tennessee doing some very unique things with their wide receiver sets. Art Smith is running an incredibly complex and nuanced passing game, which is crafted exactly to make Ryan Tannehill as good as he can be. So the fact that Ryan Tannehill has performed at his ceiling over the last half of last year and through 5 games this year shouldn't shock us, because it's built for him to succeed. He throws passes along the sidelines 11 to 20 yards down the field very accurately. And that is one of the more important passes you need in order to, make those third and long completion. So I think Tennessee is going to be able to move the ball in this one, even against a Pittsburgh defense that I recognize. They're in my top 10 pretty clearly as far as ratings go. Their pass defense can be picked on. And, you know, to your point about Luan being unavailable, it does matter. Luan is one of the best tackles in the league. His replacement is going to be a guy that we've seen play twice already this season. He came in relief in the Minnesota game, and he came in relief in the Houston game, and he acquitted himself fairly well. They replaced Conklin on right tackle with a guy named Kelly, and he's played very, very well at right tackle so far this season. It wouldn't shock me to see them flip him to the left so he's protecting Tannehill's blind side, and then the replacement level player that they have then to fill in on the right tackle doesn't matter quite as much. So I'm not especially worried about Tannehill. Tannehill taking too many sacks in this game. That's probably his one key criticism. He does hold on to the ball a little bit too long and take too many sacks. But I think Tennessee is going to be able to get into the 28-point range here, which then puts the onus on Pittsburgh. Can you go score for score with these guys? And they have a fully healthy offensive line coming back here. We're going to see David DeCastro finally. Really, the whole offensive line is playing great, and they're now adding pieces back of, you know, healthy pieces back. Similarly with the wide receiving core, they have literally, you know, four wide receiver one, wide receiver twos. That is an embarrassment of riches in today's NFL. So they're going to be able to move the ball and do a lot of damage against the Tennessee defense that I don't have a ton of respect for. So I think this is going to be an old-fashioned shootout, and I'll take over 50.5 any day of the week.
Over 50.5 from Drew. I didn't know if that was going to end up as a best bet, but it is over 50.5. Can we also shout out Mike Vrabel for a second? We talked about this on a numbers game, but the move he pulled, I talked about it all last year and the year before, how there used to be this loophole in the NFL rules. Bill Belichick used to exploit it all the time, where if you had more than 5 minutes left in a football game and you were nursing a lead, you could keep taking delay of game calls, and they would start and they would keep winding the clock up. And it was this great loophole that Belichick used to exploit. And then the playoffs last year, Vrabel did it against his teacher, Belichick, and Belichick went crazy. And that was the first sign of, wow, Mike Vrabel is on this level, in this game theory win probability level that other coaches aren't. He's in that Belichick category. And then before Romeo Crennel decided to go for two up seven, 36-29, when it was 30-29 this past week, Ryan Tannehill had just thrown a pick. Houston had the ball second and one at the Titans 25 with 3:49 remaining in the game. Second and one. And Vrabel throws Jonathan Joseph out there on the field. And Jonathan Joseph is looking back at Vrabel like, I don't think I should be out here. I'm 12th guy on the field. And Vrabel's like, no, you're good. You just stay out there. Just stay out there. You're fine. And they get flagged. And what that did was, it gave the Texans a first down, and more importantly, stopped the clock. Whereas it would have kept running, and they would have had two plays to gain 1 yard. So they're likely to get the first down anyway. So Vrabel said, I'll give you the first down, but I'm going to save myself 40 seconds by intentionally doing a 12-man on the field. They needed that 40 seconds to come back and tie the game after Crennel decided to go for two up seven, and they failed. Unbelievable. Unbelievable coaching move by Vrabel. And I'll shout out to your boss, Derek Stevens, for noticing that as well.
By the way, can I just say something about that game? Mike, did you want to go first? Go ahead, Mike.
No, he's fine.
Mike? No, what I wanted to say is, first of all, I couldn't agree with you more about that. I love it when these coaches get it mathematically. It's fantastic. So there's nothing to be said there. But the one thing I do want to say is I think people miss the entire point of the analysis about Romeo Crennel going for two. Here, you never hear this, and I don't know, I'm sure you're going to agree with me. But really the question is, do you think you can score two more often than they would get a two on you? Because in the end, if you just kick the extra point, you go up by eight. Now the question is, you've got to stop them from getting a two to tie the game later. So I think I never hear them say, it's really a question of whose 2-point, do you have more confidence in your defense to stop it or your offense to get it? Because that's really kind of what the question is.
Drew, what was your thoughts on that?
They're 1-4. They have nothing to lose. Go for two, don't go for two. I don't think it really matters one way or the other. Romeo Crennel's not getting another head coaching job in the NFL. His players probably, you know, he probably wanted to inject them with a little bit of confidence. So, you know, saying, hey, you guys, I believe in you guys. You can go get this. You can do it. If it works out, you win the locker room. Maybe you go on a little run. Everybody feels good. If you don't, you know, you can still hopefully stop them. And, you know, it's not really like the Texans are going to be in the playoff picture. So this season. It's a lost season. You just want to, you know.
Yeah, and Todd, what you were saying is if Romeo Crennel, and we're giving him credit here for this because I don't know if he made this assessment, but what you're saying is if Romeo Crennel made the assessment that his conversion rate on a 2-point play was going to exceed the Titans' ability conversion rate against their defense, then it was the proper play? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, which I never hear anybody talking about, because that's really what this all comes down to. Because if they kick the extra point, now you're defending a two if they get the touchdown. If they don't, if he goes for the two, right, it's the opposite, right? So that's – I never hear them talk about that portion of it. They always talk about the part of whether Romeo should have gone for two because, you know, it puts it out of reach, and the mathematics of whether you win more when you're up by nine or whether you win more by going to overtime up by seven, you know, that whole thing. I just never hear them talk about the other part of it, which is you're forcing the other team to go for two also, which is, you know what I mean? That's the other side of it.
Well, that's, yeah, I mean, my thing is, and you'll see analytics charts that will tell you that it's not the wrong thing to do, right? My whole thing is, you're still, if you kick the extra point, you go up eight and you force them to perform two events. Get down the field. Okay, that's going to happen in both cases. But then also have to convert the two-point conversion. And things happen on plays, right? So your ability to kick the extra point, you know, the expected point value of that is close to one, right? It's 0.9, whatever it is. But things happen on two-point conversions, right? There's a reason that the expected point value is about the same, but they convert 50% of the time. So the question is, did Romeo Crennel make the assessment, well, they have Derrick Henry, so let's go for two now? Like, if we give him the credit that he thought it through, that's one thing. I just don't know if he did. Does that make sense?
Oh, he may not have. I'm just talking about, yeah.
So okay. let me say a few
please,
things.
Mike,
I've been waiting very patiently.
Yes, you have.
One, Mike Vrabel's wife is a good friend of mine.
Really?
Jen Boleyn. She was a year behind me in high school. All-state volleyball player. She got a scholarship to Ohio State. That's where they met, and they have wonderful family, so great. Two, I had, as one of my bets, and in real life as well, one of my podcast bets, Texans, plus 3.5. I could see this scenario coming. I was hoping they'd stop them at the goal line and kick the field goal, obviously, and lose by three. When they scored, I'm sitting here at this table on Sunday saying, I hope Romeo Crennel goes for two. And the reason is what Todd cited. If Tennessee comes down and scores, they can't stop Derrick Henry from 2 yards out,
right,
which was evidenced by in overtime, they directly snapped it to him from the five, and he just walked right into the air. He leaned his way 5 yards to win the game. I agree with Todd. The assessment is, what do you think your defense's chances are stopping the two, whether you should go for two? And I thought it was the right decision.
Do you think Romeo Crennel made that assessment?
I think he might have. But I
believe he might have.
He
as
might
well.
Have as well. Yeah. I can't. Vinny Maiulo, everyone. Vinny Maiulo just walked into the building.
Vinny Maiulo, a
Vinny
special
Maiulo,
guest appearance.
Slow jamming with Vinny.
Slow jamming Vinny. With
Vinny. Hey, oh.
Vinny, how you doing, Vinny?
Todd Wishnev. Look at that puss on the screen that we got here.
What's up, is it? Vinny?
Look at Todd Wishnev.
I miss you, buddy. I miss you.
We can't hear Vinny.
He's at the U.S. Tennis Center in Pittsburgh.
Tell him I miss him.
We can't hear Vinny, but just know that it's in a slow jam voice. Just know. Yeah, it's interesting.
Thank you.
I think it's one of those.
No, Gil, I wasn't talking about whether Romeo Crennel had thought that through. I was just saying that a good coach, they don't talk about the other side of the coin. They just analyze the first part of it. It's like the same thing they do with the statistics. I was talking about this last night with Brad. People go, oh, well, they're 14th against the pass and they're fifth against the run and blah, blah, blah. But they don't talk about who they play.
Yeah.
Which in the NFL is gigantic because, you know, you have 6% of your season is one game.
Let's put it this way. My thing about it is I think reasonable minds can disagree on this, right? Like I think there's a side to each part here. Unlike, say, the Eagles attempting a 57-yard field goal up two with 3:49 left in the game against Pittsburgh. I don't think reasonable minds can disagree on that. Like, I just
don't
think.
How about when Gruden screwed me with that long field goal against New Orleans, which was also, even though it worked out for him, it was not the right play.
Right.
Remember early in the season we had that old discussion?
But like Doug Peterson saying, you know what, we're going to kick a 57-yarder at Heinz Field.
That's the key point, at Heinz Field.
And then even if we make it, they got all the time in the world to just kick a field goal themselves. Like, that's not.
By the way, Heinz is not. If before Heinz was like the worst field of all time, it's not. It's still bad, but it's not as bad as it used to be. Just for everyone to know.
Which stadiums are tougher to kick in, Todd? Since you're going to make that assertion.
That wild
assertion. No, I'm not saying. One second. I'm not saying Heinz Field is not still bad. It's bad. It's just used to be horrendous.
What did they do? They erected buildings all around it to make it easier to kick in.
Well, now they have the Rivers Casino is next door, so they took some of those $5 chips and they put them down to tamp down the turf. That's a big factor.
Todd's like, have you ever kicked at the old Vet in Philadelphia? Now, that was a tough field goal. All right, where are we, by the way?
Nobody
okay,
knows.
Okay, so far, we've heard Drew give two picks, under 56 in Seattle, Arizona, over 50.5 in Pittsburgh, Tennessee. Me, you, and Mikey have given one pick each, so you can decide who you want to go next for the second pick.
Oh, Mikey, you haven't given two?
No.
You're second, then.
I copy Drew.
Which is?
Which is over 50.5, Tennessee. I almost made that my number one. Okay. I think this Tennessee is very talented offensively, which in a little bit covers up their liabilities on defense. And Pittsburgh's going to score 28 about against anybody. So I just think this game might play in the 60s. I also tend to think that your pick of Pittsburgh is the right side in this game, but I'm not betting on that. But I would agree with Pittsburgh just because I think they could probably make Tannehill a little bit one-dimensional, which they did to Baker Mayfield and exposed him. So, yeah, over 50.5.
Todd, number two.
My second pick is going to be, okay, I'm going to go back to the well, and I always get this team wrong. I'm always 1 week early or 1 week late with them, but I'm going to try it again. I'm going back with the Raiders, the Las Vegas Raiders, my hometown, plus the 3.5 against Tampa Bay. I like going against teams that look amazing on national television. When the NFL gives us only one or two games to watch, they say, oh, you have to watch Tampa Brady against Aaron Rodgers. And then we, you know, whipsaw everyone in 10-0. And then all of a sudden it's 38-10 the other way. And Tampa Bay is not as good as they looked in that football game. Do we remember the week before when Tom Brady couldn't remember what down it was against the Chicago Bears in a ridiculous game? I think Tampa's a good team. I'm not saying they're not a good team. But the Raiders had a good game plan against Kansas City, and they won the game. I mean, I'm shocked that they won the game, but they actually won the game. Earlier in the season, they pulled off a nice win against the Saints. This Raiders team, you know, I got to give Gruden some credit. I think he's not that bad, and he's turning things around with this football team. And I think that Vegas, they might not be able to win the game, but at home, I'm getting 3.5. I'm going against a team that just had an incredible performance the week before that everybody watched. I got a bye week to sit at home, decide what to do, dodge the bullets on the Las Vegas Strip, and somehow come up with a plus 3.5. Give me the Las Vegas Raiders plus the 3.5.
God wish them. Not an evangelical guy for the Vegas tourism department. You going to say something, Drew?
Yeah. This was on my list of best bets. But
you
there's news.
Me,
and it's not good. Have you been following what's going on with the Raiders offensive line, Todd?
COVID outbreak, my friend.
Oh, don't tell me that.
Yes.
I don't want to hear
it. It's not good.
It's
not good.
My choice of my number two pick was either between Arizona plus 3.5 or Tampa Bay minus 3.5. And because Todd has said this now, just to create some conflict, I'm going oppo on Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay is going
to... Wait, so you guys might need backup picks, though, because I'm not 100% sure they play this game.
Yeah, so
why do you... Drew,
okay, so
Drew,
can
why,
I get off the game?
Hold on, Todd. Drew. We're going to let you get off the game, and I'd like Drew to expound on that.
Yes.
Well, obviously, Rob Manfred wanted the World Series time window all to himself, and so he sent a spy and infected Trent Brown, and Trent Brown has now spread it all across the Raiders' offensive line so that the primetime slot is wide open for the World Series on Sunday night.
Yeah.
But not in seriousness. In seriousness, Trent Brown was at some point in their bye, he contracted COVID. He showed up for the team facilities on Tuesday. He's hanging out with the whole offensive line. He's hanging out with some of the other reserve players. They have a second positive test in cornerback Arnett, which is not a great sign. They've sent the offensive line home now 2 days in a row because they're just waiting for confirmation that they either have it or don't. I would be surprised if they are not, you know, that the Raiders in general, you know, they've been known to have a little bit lax in terms of the protocols that they're following. So I'm a little concerned that they that this ends up being across the entire offensive line, and you know, there's enough players that the NFL gives them some leeway and either, you know, postpones or cancels the game.
Okay, well, I'm getting off that then. Okay, so wait, can I pick what would happen with Mikey?
I wanted to discuss with Gil. I didn't want to just make the decision that you could, you know, give another pick. I wanted Gil to agree with that, and he does. Yes, pick a different game, Todd. That pick is off the board for this contest week for these purposes because of the Brown
okay, so
and offensive lineman situation.
Gil, while you pick, you give your second pick, Gil, and I'll come up with a new second pick.
Well, didn't you have a third pick?
Yeah, I do have it.
Why would your third pick slide up into your second pick?
Okay, I'll slide my pick up, Mike. Calm down. Take a deep breath. I'm going to go with Cincinnati Bengals, Cleveland Browns over the total. Cincinnati has been moving the ball with the second coming. Joe Burrow, everybody loves Joe Burrow. He's so fantastic, Joe Burrow. And I think he's pretty good. I actually do think he's pretty good. Their defense is not that stellar, showing by the fact that they were up 21-0 against Phillip Rivers and couldn't close the door. Cleveland scored 35 on them the last time these two teams played. Conversely, Cleveland's defense is nothing special. I think they're more of an offensive football team. You know, they didn't show it in Pittsburgh last week, that's for sure. And Baker Mayfield, maybe because of his injury, you know, couldn't do anything. But the other thing is, remember, Baker Mayfield can throw you a pick six. And I said this last week when I took him, and he actually threw the pick six. So, you know, he could be like a Jameis Winston kind of guy to help you with pick sixes for your overs. Cincinnati, other than the game they played against the Ravens and the first week of the season against the Chargers, has moved the ball, you know, 30 points against Cleveland, 23 against Philadelphia. They had 33 against Jacksonville and 27 last week. So I think Cincinnati is going to be able to move the ball. I don't see them stopping Cleveland's offense. Give me over 50.5. You know, that'll be my second pick instead of my Raiders.
Over 50.5, Cleveland-Cincinnati. I like that one. I like that one a lot. All right, so I was going to be Oppo you, Todd.
Go Oppo.
No, but it's a Tampa Bay-Las Vegas game, so I'm not going to play that.
Oh, okay.
I think that's actually off the board even at Circa.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is.
It is off the board at Circa, Drew, because we were worried that this game wouldn't be played this week.
Yeah, I'd say it's like 50-50 probably.
Mm-hmm. Arizona was the I'll revert to guessing lines. Arizona was the line that I thought was the strangest headed into guessing lines on Monday. So I'll stick with that. I'll elevate that to number three, even though I don't love it because, again, Drew said Jamal Adams is coming back, and that's never fun. But as much as I hate fading Russell Wilson, I like the idea of having Kyler Murray in my back pocket. And
you're going with Arizona plus 3.5, that's your pick?
Yes, Todd, that is my pick. Arizona plus 3.5 is my pick. I don't think they were as good as the final score indicates on Monday night. I really don't. But I do think Arizona is a team that will play up to their competition as well. Don't ask me why I feel that way. I just kind of do. And Seattle, like Tennessee, Seattle's one of these teams. They put the cape on Russell Wilson. He gets them out of jams. They shouldn't have beaten Minnesota. They did. But I like Arizona. If you give me three in the hook, which is what it is right now, and I thought this would come down to three, it has not. I'm going to take the Arizona Cardinals 3.5 on not a whole bunch of reasoning other than I can't pick the Tampa Bay-Las Vegas game, so I'm pumping it up to number three. I'm not sure I'm betting this game, quite frankly, but that would be my third pick here. So let's elevate Philadelphia to two. Arizona becomes my three. So both Drew and I are done now with our picks, by the way.
So Eagles is minus 4.5.
Yeah.
And then Cardinals.
Arizona plus 3.5.
Yep. Yeah. All right, Mike, your final pick.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it on. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May.
Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule-release to learn more.
I went with the same game as Todd, but I took the over between the Bengals and the Browns. I just love betting these Browns over.
That's the same pick as me, Mike.
I thought you took Cincinnati.
No, I have over 50.5.
Oh, well, that's the same pick then. Sorry. Yes. I thought you were talking pick sixes.
You said Bengals-Browns. I thought you took Cincinnati.
I did. I did because I heard him talking about Mayfield pick sixes. Yeah, you make
a
good –
Yeah, but that helps the over.
Look, I tried to get cute because of Phillip Rivers and went under with the Colts-Bengals game last week. That had no shot. It almost went over in the first half. You know, the kid is a pretty good quarterback. Burrow, and they're going to move the ball, and the Browns' defense is not that good. And at the same time, their defense isn't going to stop the run. Mayfield's going to be able to move the ball. So this is probably a shootout. I thought you did take Cincinnati, because I kind of like Cincinnati a little bit to maybe win this game at home. But over 50.5 is my third pick.
They're going to cover a lot of games.
They really will.
Yeah, I think so.
I think it was an aberration, the game in Baltimore.
Yeah, I think so.
There's one thing I think to keep an eye on with Cincinnati, and that's what's going on with some of the veterans on that team. There's a little whiff of we want out of here. You know, guys like Geno Atkins, guys like Dunlap getting practice days off, not based on injury. Seems like they may be shopping them around behind the scenes to send those guys out of there. That doesn't necessarily change the handicap at all. In fact, I love the over. I like the Browns team total over this week, especially. But you could see a surprise scratch on someone like AJ Green. It's not unlike what you see with starting pitchers around the trade deadline for baseball, where all of a sudden they're not going to start that guy because they're worried he's going to get, you know, they don't want to jeopardize the deal by getting those guys hurt. Just keep an eye on some of the veterans for the Bengals.
All right.
I need to give my third, right?
That's interesting about the Bengals veterans. It's a little whiff of that. Todd, your final one.
My final pick, this is going to be my fill-in pick. I'm going to hold my nose.
Anthony Lynn?
At the opposite. I'm going to take Jacksonville Jaguars. Jacksonville Jaguars +8 against Anthony Lynn. I'm going to hope for the Lynn factor and hope that Anthony can keep me in the game late and somehow Jacksonville can squeak inside the number. They haven't squeaked inside the number for quite a while now. Minshew has been, horrendous lately. And I'm just thinking, okay, this might be the game. Remember, these teams have to cover some games. Maybe not the Jets. I was wrong about the Jets. By the way, I made a point last week about how all the teams at the end are going to be either 6-10, 7-9, 9-7, or 8-8 against the spread. And I'm correct about that. There is always the outlier team like the Jets that ends up 3-13 against the spread. And that's probably what's going to happen this year. But I don't see Jacksonville as, in the Jets world of that bad. So I think Jacksonville's got to get some spread wins. And why not against a team like Anthony Lynn, who loves to let you hang around? I could totally see them being up 14 late and him just running the ball late in the third quarter to try to punt it back and give Jacksonville a chance to give me the back door. Anthony Lynn is who you want to be against when you have the back door. You don't want him in another situation where it's a tight game or something like that. Well, you might want to go against him there too, because, everything's going to go wrong in his world. But this is a perfect scenario where I could see Jacksonville coming in the back door and losing by, 7 or 8 or something like that. So give me Jacksonville +8 against the Anthony Lynns.
And isn't it amazing if Tyrod Taylor hadn't had his lung punctured by the team doctor, we still would never have probably seen Justin Herbert.
That guy's the MVP of the team, the Chargers 2020.
Yeah.
Well, he's got to be.
Yeah. Would you play Tua at 10-1 or better for Rookie of the Year sight unseen right now, though?
Would you play Tua?
I would not play Tua. Why is he playing Tua? Why not Ryan Fitzpatrick?
Drew and I were on the air at VSiN when the news came down.
Todd obviously wasn't listening.
We were on the air.
I know it's listened to every single VSiN show.
Todd doesn't listen on Wednesdays specifically.
It's too soon.
But Tuesday, Drew and I, when the news came down, I was admittedly surprised. But, we saw it both ways, I guess, Drew, right?
Yeah, from an organization standpoint, it's you have to evaluate this kid. You absolutely have to. You only have a 3-year window to evaluate your rookie quarterback to understand if he is the guy that you are going to war with in the future. And they have so much draft capital in the 2021 draft. They need to know even sooner because this is going to be one of their last chances, because, you know, they have so much draft capital at the behest of the Houston Texans in 2021, in addition to their own, that if Tua is not right physically, if he doesn't have the game for the NFL, they need to be able to package those picks and move up and get another guy, not unlike what we saw with the Cardinals. So, you know, I think they know that they're on the clock and that they have a short window to do this evaluation. And, you know, Ryan Fitzpatrick may be good enough to get you into the playoffs, but in a year where you're not even really selling tickets, and who knows when you're really going to be able to sell tickets again, what good is it just to get some wins and inspire the fan base? And, you know, I think the dynamics have changed a little bit, and the organization is being a little bit more aggressive, and just in terms of, you know, hey, we want to win a title. We need to know as soon as possible if Tua is the guy. And the fact that Ryan Fitzpatrick was winning, I think, is probably it was never part of their decision making. Right? They could have been 0-5 headed, 0-6 heading into their bye, or 6-0. And I think they were like, look, he's going to be healthy by that time. We're going to have 2 weeks of prep, you know, with our bye, and that's when we're making the move one way or the other. It seems like they didn't communicate that to Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Yeah, that's
stinks.
The interesting thing, right?
That would
exactly. Can I give the other side of this? I agree with everything Drew just said, but that being said, the AFC East is not that good a division, folks. And Ryan Fitzpatrick, while he hasn't had his blow-up game, and I'm sure it's coming somewhere down the road, he's been pretty good. And why not... Just from a human standpoint, I'm sad for Ryan Fitzpatrick. And Drew is probably right. In the long term, you're not going anywhere with Fitzpatrick. But it's not like the AFC East is any good this year. Why not have a little storybook season for a certain team that I know, I forgot. I kind of like their song. It goes a little bit like this. Miami Dolphins, Miami Dolphins. Mr. Fitzpatrick deserves better than this. I know Tua's going to be great. I know Tua's going to be great, but his parents can't even come to the game this year.
Wow, you hit the high F once again. Nicely done, Todd. I think all these things are true, right? Like, it was surprising because of all the reasons you state, Todd, because they're in it. They're ahead of the Patriots. The Bills just lost again. So, hey, the division is there. But then everything Drew's saying, and I think specifically, they don't care what the record was, apparently. I think this was pre-planned. And the surprising, I don't know if the surprising thing, but the interesting thing has been Ryan Fitzpatrick hasn't taken it that well. He's like, this is heartbreaking. He didn't see it coming. So,
and I feel bad for him. Don't you feel bad for him a little bit?
I do. Not that it matters to the Dolphins, I guess. But I feel bad, you know, or I don't know. The only bets I made before the season started were Patriots under season wins, Dolphins over season wins, 6, and the Dolphins at 11-1 to win the division. So I don't know how I feel about it. But I would consider a bet on Tua for Rookie of the Year just because the number is what it is. Burrow and Herbert can't win their divisions. Tua might be able to. In the same way that I would consider a bet on Justin Fields to win the Heisman at 6-1, sight unseen. Because yeah. I get it's Trevor Lawrence's to lose, but I don't know. I'll take a flyer on Justin Fields.
Can't they just wait for 3 or 4 weeks till Fitzpatrick starts throwing 2 interceptions plus a game and then make
the
move?
But they had the bye week.
I get it. I get what Drew's saying. If you're a Dolphins fan, is this exciting for you to get to see Tua?
Yes, they love this.
Is the fan base energized by this move?
First of all, we all love the kid, right? What's there not to love?
Well, he's injury prone. I don't know. He can't stay
out
of his own way.
They need to find out if he can play a full season.
Yeah.
You need to give him 10 games. Can he stay on the field for 10 games? You need to know.
All right, let's wrap it up with the final 3 questions. First one. First one is your favorite teaser leg, your favorite two team teaser, 6-point teaser of the week. We've done very well on these.
Wait a minute.
Everyone's 5-1. We're hot as hell.
I'm missing something.
What are you missing?
Just for my own purposes.
Yes.
Drew, you have Eagles -4.
And a half.
Yep. You
over
have
50 and a half in Pittsburgh.
And under in the Cardinals, 56, right?
Yep.
Okay, I just wanted to clarify. Okay,
trust Todd.
Yeah, but it's hard to read it sometimes. I mean, I go back and look and say, "What the hell did he write?"
Chicken scratch.
It's like a pharmacist.
It's very good. Actually, it's very legible, and I'll put it on.
It's very good. There's all kinds of extraneous lines. It's hard to read.
Like a pharmacist.
I'll put it on Twitter just to show that you have problems with reading comprehension.
Okay, Drew's been kind enough to stay long here. Let's get this.
He's got 3 more podcasts today.
Yeah. All right, Drew, we'll start with you.
I front load my week, so this is the grand finale. This is the best. Yeah,
okay, yeah. Well, we appreciate it. Your favorite two-leg teaser of the week, sir.
Okay, well, one of them is the classic Wong. For sure, I am taking the Detroit Lions. I'm going to tease them from 2.5 down to 8.5. That is a very solid look, in my opinion. I think the Lions probably win this game. And realistically, I'm not a Matt Patricia guy. I'm not a Stafford guy, really. But what the Falcons did, kind of, you know, thumping the Minnesota Vikings last week, I thought was, you know, that was a motivational high spot for them after firing Dan Quinn. I don't know that they come out and give you the same level of effort. And the Falcons defense is as bad as we think they are. And realistically, the Lions are, you know, they are surging to a degree coming off of their bye, and the way that they played against the Jags was impressive, I thought. So little nervous that they will somehow screw this up towards the end of the game because they get too conservative when they have the lead. But I definitely think they will be able to to get a lead against the Falcons. So I'll put Lions plus 2.5 out to 8.5. This is a standard 66 pointer talking about.
Yes, sir.
Second one, I'm going to do something a little controversial. Mm-hmm. And I'm picking this specifically to make an interesting point to you guys, see what you have any thoughts. I'm going to tease the Kansas City Chiefs down from 10 to 4. And what's interesting, kind of doing a little bit of, some of the numbers over the last couple of years and this higher, you know, we know that, you know, not just this season, but over the last couple of seasons, scoring is creeping in the NFL. We know with the longer extra points, that's, you know, the conventional wisdom that 3 is this high frequency landing spot for NFL margins. It's being challenged a little bit. And I guess, would it surprise you guys to know that if you take all of last year's contests and this year's contest, that 3 is no longer the most common final score?
It was 7 margin last of victory. Year, right?
It's 7 last year, yeah. And it's still 7. We have 7 is creeping up in frequency to 12%. 12% is that, and you know, and 3 is down from
15, right? It used to be 15, right?
Three used to be 15, yes. And 3 is down to 10. Yeah, three has fallen from 15 to 10, and 7 is surging up to 12. And honestly, 8 is surging as well. 5% of games now land on 8. Realistically, what this is just kind of all breaks down to is there's sort of a secondary Wong zone in the 10, 9, 8 range, and teasing some of the heavier favorites is has been is almost as profitable. You get like 38% win probability crossing 7, 6, 5, 4, 3. And you get about 31% win probability crossing 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5 now. So it's an interesting little
Point.
You know, interesting little
We should give Drew 3.5 on.
Yeah, we'll do
we
you one better. 9.5 to 3.5. Yeah.
Because okay, Kansas City is 9.5. That's even better.
Yeah, it's 9.5, like so we got to move it down to 3.5.
Yeah, it's not only is there 1.9, we do it by consensus. Consensus is 9.5 right now. So yeah, 9.5 to 3.5. Even better.
Because 4 is a 5-point mark. 5% of games land on 4, so perfect.
It's a great point, Drew. So from the 3 being the most common, last year it shifted, and right now you're seeing 12% of outcomes are 7 and only 10% are 3 now.
Incredible. Never thought I'd see it.
Yeah.
Well, and that's incredible that it went from 15 to 10% on 3s, right? Because that means a full one-third of the games that used to land on 3 are no longer landing on 3. That's pretty wild.
Yeah. Mikey?
I used the Lions as well.
Oh, okay.
Up through the 7.
Through
the 8.
I didn't expect that, by the way.
Why?
I don't know. I just didn't expect it about the Lions.
I don't know. The Lions are a little bit of an enigma.
Just because Atlanta's so volatile in their scoring.
Yeah, but their defense is awful. Defense is awful. It takes like a Kirk Cousins, a special level of inept for them to win. And so I think that the Lions this will be another high-scoring game. The total's set that way. But I just don't think that they're beating them by 10. And then my other one is I'm going to hold my nose, and just because I don't love anything else.
Take
Anthony Lynn down under the 3 to 2.
Dot.
Yeah, unfortunately, I have the exact same thing with with Mikey as the, but the thing is, now that I have Jacksonville plus eight, I don't really want to root for, you know, for them to win exactly between 2 and 8. So you know what? I'll switch my LA Chargers as my second leg. I have Detroit plus 8.5 too. I like Detroit. I think it's hard for Atlanta to win by a lot of points because their defense isn't that good. And Detroit actually has been sneaky better than people think. Think about this. If they win that game that they should have won against the Bears, they're not, they've got 3 wins. They're not even that bad, Detroit. So, you know, I'll take Detroit plus 8.5. And you know what? I'll switch to the, I'm going to hold my nose and take the Rams. I don't really like the Rams. I don't really like their quarterback. But I mean, come on. Are the Bears just going to do this every single week for the rest of time? I don't think so. You know, I just, I like their defense. I think it's great. But I don't know. I just don't think they're as good as everyone's making them out to be. Give me the Rams to just win the game.
All right, I'm holding my breath. I'm taking the Chargers on one end down to 1.5. God help me.
No, it's 2.
Not according to my board, it's not. It's 1.5, but okay.
You, oh, okay, fine. Fine, yeah. We'll give you the 1.5. We'll give you the
one. And then
that
I'm,
means we have to give Mikey the 1.5, too.
Yeah, let's give him
and you.
And you.
No, I'm no, taking, he's going I'm the, other taking way. The Rams instead.
I'm going to take the Pittsburgh Steelers, but am I getting it to 7 or 7.5? Just a 7, right?
Yeah, just a 7.
No, I don't like that as much, but that's who I'm going to take. So Steelers? Chargers and Pittsburgh for me. Before we do the
do
final.
Pushes loose?
What's that?
Because 7s, do pushes loose?
Do pushes
loose? Pretty common.
Do pushes loose? Push,
no.
If you go to, no, if you go to your correct places, a push is actually a refund.
Refund.
Correct.
So we're going with that.
Yes, pushes don't lose.
Okay. All right.
Because seven, you can shop for
pretty common.
You can shop for that in the market. So yeah. We have to, you know, it's all about.
I'm told being, you should know your rules, Mikey. That's what people tell me.
Well, people say it's a people say it's an obscure rule. It's rule number one.
All right. Before we do final two questions, Drew, do you do Survivor or no?
I'm out.
Okay. So then it's me and Todd.
No, I'm out now too.
Oh, you're out too.
He had the Patriots. Todd
oh, that's
had the
right.
Patriots.
Get out of here. So it's only me. I'm
so
taking.
Actually, so I'm happy.
This is proof that Hashem doesn't hate you, Todd.
That's right.
I know. I was going to say the same thing. Maybe my whole season's going to turn around now.
Okay, I didn't do a grid for the season because.
Wait, I'll tell you who you've used so far, Gil. Want to know who you used in the second entry? Or no, you don't want to know.
No. Please tell the people.
Your second entry so far, you've used Tennessee, Cleveland Browns, New England Patriots, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Arizona, and Miami Dolphins. So who are you going to take?
Nice. I'm taking the Buffalo Bills against the Jets. I'm lucky to have them, so I will play them.
A lot of people don't have them left this week.
And I'll play them. And I know it's Sam Darnold, and you know, okay. I'll take Buffalo, and I'll let other people squirm not having Buffalo. I haven't gridded out the season. I until this week, because I just don't think in the year of COVID it does you a lot of good. You got to do this week by week almost this year.
You know, I think a lot of people will use the Eagles tonight in their Survivor.
Yes, some people will.
Mm-hmm.
Some people will use the Eagles tonight. I thought about it, but you know what? There's fewer opportunities to play the Bills later than there are the Eagles actually. So I'm taking the Buffalo Bills. Final two questions. Of the big favorites on the board, who do you think is the most likely to lose outright, otherwise known as sort of your money line parlay buster? Is it the Buffalo Bills, 12.5-point favorites at the New York Jets? New Orleans, 7.5-point favorites hosting the Carolina Panthers? The Chiefs, 9.5-point favorites at Denver? Or the Chargers, 7.5-point favorites, pardon me, hosting the Jacksonville Jaguars? I think we know where this is going. Drew, who's the most likely to lose outright?
I'm going to say it's the Saints. I like Todd's Carolina plus 7.5 pick. I'm on that as well this week. And realistically, it's just I've downgraded the Saints passing defense pretty substantially. It's based on performance. And I am wide open, eyes wide open, aware of the fact that the Saints always treat the beginning part of the season as an extended preseason. They don't really try to come out and just light the world on fire weeks 1 through 4. But it doesn't change the fact that players like Marshawn Lattimore, Marcus Williams, I thought these guys were up-and-coming superstars as far as secondary defensive players go, and they are really performing poorly so far this season. They are giving up many, many, many yards through the air. And we have a Carolina Panthers team that is getting it done with DJ Moore and Robbie Anderson in a dynamic passing attack under Joe Brady that is impressing me. So I think this is going to be a tight contest, and I could see Carolina coming out victorious.
How good is Robbie Anderson, by the way? So good. Mikey.
That's an interesting pick. You know, at the same time that I that I teased the Chargers down to two, I can still see them losing this game. So I'm going to use the Chargers.
I'm the Chargers because it's the Chargers. No explanation necessary. It's just they terrify me.
You've come around a lot on Anthony Lynn. You were a big Anthony Lynn defender for quite a while. You were.
No, your buddy thinks I was an Anthony Lynn defender. I was never an Anthony Lynn defender.
I thought that you were.
He just is upset when Anthony Lynn walks into a room, and I'm like, let the man walk into the room.
Yeah, well, he's a
good
person.
That's Mikey. That's Mikey. He's a sycophantic friend, a sycophantic fan. He's sycophantic in general.
Is that your word for the week?
Word of the week.
Are you learning? You get that email every day with the word of the day?
Yeah, that's my word of the week, Mike. And it's very apt. Here's another word for you. Apt for you.
All right. Thank you. Todd, who's the most likely to lose outright of those?
I'm with Drew. I think it's the New Orleans Saints. I think they're not the old New Orleans Saints. Carolina's okay. I could totally see them pulling the shocker.
Final question. Oh, by the way, your Arsenal game went terribly, huh?
Well, I had it set up because I had under 2.5, over 1.5, so I blew some juice.
Okay.
I had it set up at 2 to hit the middle.
2-1, late, Arsenal on top. Okay, last question. We live in a bizarro world. We live in this world where we're forced to bet a side on every single game in the National Football League. There are 14 scheduled now. Let's throw out the Tampa Bay game. Let's call it 13 games. But you're allowed one free pass. One game you want no part of. Drew, you might have hinted at your game earlier. What is it?
I would actually – well, man, this is awfully tough. I want nothing to do with so many of these games. I guess I'll do a Dallas-Washington football team.
That was mine. Dallas-Washington. Want no part of it. None. Mikey?
That's mine.
Yeah?
You know, and the last 4 weeks, my best bet has been against Dallas. You know, I've just faded
them.
This one
you can't. This one,
but they can't move the ball. I mean, even the horrible defense, they have a team that's not even a professional passing offense.
Yeah,
Washington. I would still, if I had to pick it, take the football team, because their defense is at least a semblance of something. And this Dallas team is just, you have no idea how bad they are. They were god awful with that, and then now Dalton comes in and everybody picked him on. I didn't get that. I mean, they downgraded the most important position, and all of a sudden they were the chic pick last week. But I don't know. Washington, I don't know if they can score.
I agree with Drew's sentiment, though. These games are so difficult to get, to have five picks a week, let alone three. And then when we do this exercise, like, what do you want no part of? Well, I can give you 10 of these, but the one above the 10 is Dallas-Washington, of all of them. Todd?
I also don't want any part of the Green Bay game because I don't know what you're going to get out of Green Bay this week after that ridiculous performance, and who knows what's going on with Houston. I mean, they're 1-5, but they're not really a 1-5 team. They're not that bad, and, you know, who knows what's going to happen in that.
Okay. For Mike Palm, thank you, Mike. We love the D. Thank you for having us here at the D.
Can I say something?
Please, in conclusion.
Well, we always give our survivor update, usually at the beginning. But
I was about to say 353, right?
We're down to 353. We had 410 last week. 51 got knocked out with the Patriots. 5 got knocked out with the Vikings. But again, the amazing thing, yet another week, one entry failed to be submitted. So I want us to put up a prop. What's the last week that an entry will fail to be submitted? I mean, what are we going to put up, 12.5? I don't know. Every single week somebody doesn't get their pick in.
Can I be honest with you? I waited till I forgot till 11:30 on Saturday morning. I was like, oh,
yeah, 3.5 hours.
Yeah.
No problem.
No problem. I was in a panic, though, for a minute. 353. There's a prop at DraftKings, 7.5 season wins for the team that wins the NFC East, and the under is plus money. Got to take the under there, right? 7.5?
I would take the under.
Two. Okay. For Mike Palm, Vice President of Operations at Circus Sports, and Derek Stevens, Consigliere. Thank you to everybody at the D who has been so hospitable. Hopefully we start at Circa next week.
Well, we're going to. We probably should iron out all the technical difficulties.
Okay.
When you're over there for your tour today, it's the radio booth area.
On top of the studio.
On top of it. If not, I don't know. The studio won't be being used at that time either, if that's the other alternative.
Okay. Todd Wishnev in his mother's attic, in his mother's cork attic in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Nice cork is great insulation, I'm told. And Drew Dinsick, kind enough to join me twice this week, but the first time ever on the Megapod, here at the Beating the Book Megapod, the host of the Deep Dive podcast with his buddy Andy Molitor, Roto World, and of course, Point Spread Weekly at VSiN as well. Thank you, Drew. Appreciate it. Sorry it took, we went over, but we appreciate the time, sir.
It was a pleasure. Thank you guys for having me. Best of luck on week 7.
Yes, to everybody. Best of luck with all your football picks. Thank you so much for listening to the Megapod. Thank you all.
Thanks, Drew.
Oh, thank you, Drew.
Nice to meet you, Drew.
Very articulate. Yes, very articulate. Shocking. Shocking.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it! Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.